first canon.
This has been quite a week, hasn't it? We've had a full moon of Friday the 13th and a national emergency all in one. The stock market is up and down all over the place. Parents are realizing the sudden reality that your kids are going to be home for the next few weeks or longer. This has been a very different kind of March Madness, hasn't it, folks? And then with the media and all that we're being told that contradicts everything else in this national emergency, it's hard to know what to expect next. I read this week a quote, put it on Facebook. It says, "It's a dangerous thing to become a slave to your fear. You black out in irrational ways and make things worse instead of better." So 2014, USA Today carried a story about a Seattle resident trying to kill a spider who just about burned his house down. I think that's the African right there. A spokesman for the fire department said the man used spray paint and a lighter as a self-made blowtorch to attack a spider that had escaped into a wall in his laundry room. The wall caught fire and the man apparently tried unsuccessfully to douse the flame. The blaze then spread, caused nearly $60,000 in damage to the home before the firefighters were able to put it out. But the spokesman concluded, "I'm pretty sure the spider didn't survive because the whole wall went up." The fear can make you crazy. I think God knew that we human beings would be this way. I think from the moment that God evicted Adam and Eve from the garden and from the safety and security that it contained, I think God thought, you know, fear is going to be a problem from now on. And I think that's why in the Bible, over 365 times, God says to mankind, "Fear not." And one of my favorite fear nots in all the Bible is Isaiah 41, verse 10. It's been my go-to verse for years when I face fear, when I face uncertainty. I share this verse in the hospitals and in nursing homes and at funeral homes and with people that are going through hard times. Folks, this, if you're going to memorize a verse, this is a good verse to memorize. And I want us to stand together. It's on the screen. I want us to speak this verse aloud together. This is from the Christian Standard Version. Your version may be a little different. We're going to read from the screen so we're all on the same page. So let's read this together. Ready? "Do not fear, for I am with you.
Do not be afraid, for I am your God.
I will strengthen you.
I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand."
Now let's do it one more time. Okay? Bears repeating, doesn't it? "Do not fear, for I am God.
Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand."
Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much. That you we would struggle with fear. There would be times when we don't know what to do. Times like this. Thank you that you gave us thousands of years ago a verse like this for times like this. It's just another remarkable example of your love and your compassion and your grace for you. Today, Father, I pray that you through your Spirit would speak to this meek and humble message, the powerful and great truth that this verse contains. That Father, you would speak hope and help and encouragement and faith into our lives. That we would learn, Father, that listen to you, you know, hear me, for I am here. Help us today to know that in Jesus' name, all God's people will say, have a seat. Isn't that a good promise? "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." It was exactly the antidote that the people of Israel needed for the pandemic of fear that they were experiencing. And I would submit to you today exactly what we need to do that. Let me give you a little bit of context on that verse. The northern kingdom of Israel had been carried into captivity in 722 B.C., and the kingdom of Judah was in the middle of a reign of idolatry and evil. The nation of Assyria had begun to dominate the Fertile Crescent where Israel was, and Israel was surrounded literally by threats. They were full of fear. They were deeply concerned about their lives. What would become of the promises of God? How would the chosen people of God survive this crisis? And the question is, would the righteous also have to suffer with the rest of the nation that had become, for all practical intents and purposes, pagan? For 39 chapters, God gave the prophet Isaiah a prophecy of warnings and judgments that would come upon the nation. And mixed in there, every once in a while, there was a few, but the Messiah was coming. But then the tone changes in chapter 40. It goes from predictions of destruction and judgment and exile to promises of redemption and return. And in verse 10 of chapter 41, God says, "Fear not. Do not be dismayed." This was a word not to the people on the beach, not to the person in the hammock, not to those that were having it pretty good. This was a word to people in trouble. A word to people who were petrified and paralyzed by the fears of their present life and the prospects of the future. This was a word to the overwhelmed. God calls it dismayed. It's a Hebrew word. It literally means the dark glances this way and that way. The image there is the people looking this way and that way, wondering what's going to happen next. Have you felt that way this week? Wondering what the next announcement is, what's going to go on. To the people like this, God says, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed." Folks, listen to me. There's substance to those words. Those words have deep roots and an unshakable foundation, and that foundation is God. The bottom line of this message today, if I could put it real simply, is that in your fear, God. In your fear, there's God. Let me just break this passage down for us this morning. Number one, in your fears, God is with you. Folks, when we have to face fearful things alone, doesn't it seem the thing is getting bigger? But when we face fearful things together with other people, it begins to give us a little bit of perspective. And when we face it with God, it kind of cuts down on the problem, doesn't it? I love this story I heard years ago about a little boy whose mother asked him to go down to the basement to bring up a can of beans from the cellar. You know, back in the day when you used to can stuff and keep it in the cellar and keep it right. Well, she told him to go down to the basement. Well, the little boy did not like to go down to the basement with his mom. And it was scary and it smelled funny. And there were some strange sounds that came out of the basement. And the little boy looked at mom and said, "Mom, I'm scared to go down there alone." The mom said, "Honey, don't be afraid, because God is in that basement too." So the little boy swallows real hard. He goes to the basement door. He cracks it open a little bit. He musters up his courage. He looks through the door and he whispers, "God, if you're down there, could you bring up some beans for me?" I'll be the first to admit, there are times I wish I could see it. It would be a lot easier, but I'm going to give you something better. We may not be able to see God, but I'm here today. God sees us. God is with us, Isaiah says. God goes before us in the face of my fears. Another one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 43, verse 2. God says, "I will be with you when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you." When our boys were little, we used to love to watch David. Anybody remember Angel video? Yeah. One of our favorites was a song that Wild the Tomato sang. The little asparagus, he was afraid. And Bob the Tomato sung this song. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. Yes, God is bigger than the boogeyman. And he's watching out. You and me, don't sing it together. We should have sung it today, Thomas. Listen to the folks. In our fear, we can know this, God. Secondly, Isaiah says, in our fear, God is still God. He says, "Do not be afraid. I am your God." Well, who is this God? Well, in chapter 40, leading up to our text, Isaiah reminds us of who our God is. Let me just highlight some things for you. He says, "He is the God who pardons our iniquity. He is the God whose word will stand forever. He is the God who comes with might and whose arm rules for you. He is the God who tends his flock like a shepherd and carries him close to his heart. He is
God who holds oceans in his hand and weighs mountains on his scale. He is the God to whom nations are but a drop in the bucket. He is the God who tramples kings underfoot. He is the everlasting God. He is the God whose wisdom is unsearchable. He is the God who gives power to the faint and increases the strength of the weak. He is the God whom coastlands are afraid of and the ends of the earth tremble. He is the God who calls out his people from exile and will never cast them off. That is our God. And I would suggest to you today that he is still the same God. What Hebrews says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in our fears, we can run to this God. He is still the same God today. We can find refuge in him. He is our hiding place. He is our shield and defender, the lifter of our head. He is the rock upon which we stand in our fears. God is still God. Not only that, but in our fears, God, Isaiah says, will strengthen us. And I can't tell you how many times over the years of my ministry, I've had people who have gone through impossible times, heartbreaking, saving and pastoring. I don't know how in the world we got through that. All I know is that what I needed strength, God gave me. I don't know what happened. I don't know what I can't do. I just know that God gave me strength. I've heard that. God does do that. I'm here to tell you today that's true. At the end of Isaiah 40, God said to the prophet, "But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God will give us the strength we need. We may not be able to fly. We may not even be able to run, but God will give us the strength to walk and the strength to not faint. Because the Bible says, in our fears, God will strengthen us. Next, in our fears, it's been said that one of the great lies of our time is, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." We've all experienced some help that really is not help. When a little preschooler wants to come and help you bake cookies. When the neighbor says, "I can help you fix your car." Or when the husband or the friend says, "Well, I'll help you paint your living room." That's not the kind of help that God promises. God promises help that helps, that aids us, that assists us, that gets us through things that we can't get through on our own. When we cry out for help in the midst of our fears, the Bible says God hears and he answers and God helps. Now, I'll be the first to admit, sometimes God's help comes wrapped in packages that I don't understand, that I didn't request, but I do know this. At just the right time. And at just the right place. Mark God. And isn't this wishful thinking? Testimony of God's saints that we hear. David, the psalmist here. Listen, look at these psalms. Psalm 121, verse 2. He says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth." Aren't you glad today that we don't have to rely on help that comes from men that can't even figure out what's going on in the world? Our help comes from the one who made the world. Our help comes from the one who, with the word, spoke the universe into creation. I don't know about you, but I want that help. I don't want help from people that can't figure out, the people that have people, you know, that don't understand, that don't have the power to do what that has to. I want that kind of help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth. Psalm 33, verses 20 and 21 says, "My soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him. The name in the Old Testament represents the person who he is, what he's able to do. We find joy. We find, the scripture says, our hearts become glad in him when we trust in him. In his name, in his power. Scripture says, he is a shield around me. He is the one who lifts up my head. He is my glory. I will pray for him." He said, he goes on to say, "I cried aloud to the Lord and he answered me. In our fears, brothers, listen to me, God helps us. Always have to. Always will. God
our fears, God will honor. His righteous right hand. In his righteousness, it means that the actions he takes are always driven by his righteous purpose and his character. He will always do the right thing. And we can count on him, can't we, to keep his promises. He upholds us with his righteous right hand. The right hand was a symbol of strength, was a symbol of steadiness, was a symbol of a readiness to act. I want us to think just for a minute about the hand of God. It's the hand that can take a handful of dust and make a man. It's the hand that can scoop up an ocean as if it were a cloud. It's the hand that touched the leper and made him well. It was the hand that faced him mud with blind eyes and made him see. It is the hand that lifted a dead little girl off her bed and brought her back to life. It is a hand that lifted a frightened Simon Peter out of the angry waves and got him back on the boat. It is a hand that laid a blessing on the head of a child. It was the only hand righteous enough to receive the nail of the cross that bore our sin and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. It is the hand in resurrection that was raised in power and glory. And it is a hand out of which no one and no thing, not even the devil himself, can snatch us from the eternal security. Folks, I want to tell you something today. There's no better hands than the hand of the Lord. And there's no better place to be than in the hand of the Lord. God's hand never age. God's hand never wrinkle. God's hand never loses power and the grip that he has on us. In the midst of our fears, in the midst of our dismay, God says, in the midst when we think, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do, where's my next step, I don't think I'm going to make this, I don't know where to go, in the midst of all that, God says, don't worry, don't be afraid, I'll go over you. See, that's one of the great truths of the scripture, folks. It's not that we hold on to God, but that God holds on to us. God holds on to us, and he will never let us. Aren't those of his promises from the Word of God? You'll be able to write this. Go home. Take a legal pad or take a piece of paper and write down all your fears. Coronavirus.
Don't eat from that tree. You can eat from that tree.
There's some people in this is not to get your mortgage paid off, not to make sure you don't lose your coronavirus, not to make sure that you give your power to us. The greatest thing that you have right now is Jesus Christ. So without Him, we have to do it. Without Him, we are susceptible to all the fears and the rumors and we can only do what we do. And that falls short. But we do. You don't have to. With Him, we don't have to fear because He's still God. He's still the same today as He was the day that He parted the Red Sea, the day that He healed the little the lame man, the day that He raised the little girl from the dead. He's still that same kind of God. He's still the same God that says, "I will strengthen you." He gave Daniel the courage to stand up before the king and say, "I'm not going to bow." He went home and he prayed. And He gave Daniel the courage to the lions, and He gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego courage to stand before the king for the fireworks will be burning and said, "King, we're not going to bow now. God may not deliver us, but we're not going to bow to you." And He threw them in the fiery furnace. And they had courage. He gave the disciples courage after Jesus ascended into heaven before the priest and gospel to all the world. And both that all of these had done was to mark of death. He gave them the courage to strengthen them in this. And He gave them all courage and the strength. All over the world, the church is getting beaten, and tortured, and imprisoned, and shipwrecked, and rejected, and criticized, and rejected, and abandoned by his friends, and strengthened him so that the end of his life would be laid out of the burden of the ladies. Where does our help come from? We look up to the hills. Our help comes from the Lord. He has helped His people through other times like this. He helped His church during the days of the persecution after Stephen was stoned to survive and to thrive in the midst of that persecution. He's helping believers in China today that are going through an incredible persecution to thrive. He's helping people in Iran who have been oppressed by Islam for years. There's a great revival going on. He's helping His people, folks. He's still helping. He's that kind of God. And He's the God who says, "I will help you." That's why Paul would say in his prison cell, prison movement, "Deliver us from the darkness." Paul knew that alone, that prison, that executioner, nothing. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will He not also give Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who can condemn? Christ is the one who died, but even more has been raised. And He's also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Right now, God is praying for this nation. He's praying for us. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We're counting the sheep of His Father. No, He says that all these things. How many of those things? All. We are more than conquerors in Him. For I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing which is a coronavirus may be hung, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Lord God said, "Fear not. Nothing is separate. In this world we have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Jesus, I am with you." We may not have help, but guess what? If we got to get some good help, because we'll be there. That's not a bad deal, folks. The didn't mean that. We got God. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the truth of your word. Father, thank you for loving us so much. And I pray all day that you knew that we would have times like this. And you knew we would hold the reaction to fear. You knew how fearful it would make us crazy. And so you said to us 365 times in the Bible, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. And I'm so glad. Thousands of years ago in Israel, shaking in their boots because of the real threat that they faced. The real disaster that was just at their feet. You gave them a word of encouragement. Fear not. Trust and live. Be not afraid, friend of God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous life. Dear God, I pray that you speak that truth into our hearts today. There are people in this room that need to come to you, Father. This thing is shaking them from their own self-righteousness, their own self-power, their own self-aggrandizement, and they can realize they need help. And it's not going to come from the government. It's not going to come from their bank account. I mean, all their stuff could be gone in an instant. It's only going to come from one place next year. Some of us, Father, just need to just say, Lord, some of us, Father, are going to have our opportunity to share the gospel this week with people that are scared and slapped to death. Give us the courage. Give us faith to know that you'll strengthen us. You'll help us. You'll hold on to us. You'll see us. Why not, Father, we give this time to you. Help us to respond today and in glory and in love. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Keep that verse queued up. We're going to sing that on the way out, okay? Now, let me thank you for being here. I hope you feel better. I hope God's been able to help and encourage you and stuff. That message will be up on the website here by this afternoon. And so, share, hope, help, encouragement with people. Please take care of yourself. Wash your hands. Keep them out of your face. If you have trouble with that, then ask them if you will. The ushers are going to be able to go to the doctor's place. And the exit fee is $25. No. But if you would like to be in that wheelchair, so don't feel intimidated by that. Okay? And we're going to church tonight. If you'd like to come back, we'll be here. Pray for one another, pray for one another. Okay, folks, this is going to be a great opportunity for us to talk to people about Jesus. And so I encourage you. I love you. I want to shake your hand, hug your neck so bad, but I know some of you, you know, so we will really play with one another. We want to know how high, we want to know the thumbs up. And let's sing the second verse. What's your word? The second verse again. So let's sing it. Let's speed up the tempo a little bit. Let's pick up the bottom. We've got 12 beats. And let's praise God and then we'll be together.